This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Chwaba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who loves the sin but hates the sinner, Pete Chwaba.
Welcome back. We are broadcasting statewide here in the beautiful state of Wisconsin from beautiful downtown Green Bay on this frigid night. It is -1 out. That's the high. Daniel from Menasha, he's in the 920, says, Nicolas Cage and Longlegs should get a Razzie. They should have just hired Emo Phillips in his place. Look at Daniel tying all the topics together tonight. We were talking about the Razzies before, and now we're talking about Meet the Parents, which the original was financed by Emo Phillips. And if Daniel didn't know that before sending that text, that's even more impressive. Annie from Watertown says, she's in the 920, says, former comedian, does that mean he's not funny anymore? Very funny, Annie. No, Greg is still very funny. He is not a traveling comedian anymore. He just writes movies. And finally, Tom in New Berlin says, it's grueling sometimes, but the extreme cold kills things that need to die, like box elder larva. It's cleansing. The extreme cold is cleansing. That's a serious silver lining, Tom. Thank you for the text, and keep them coming. Extreme heat or extreme cold? What do you prefer? Right now, joining me here on the show is author Laura Enright. She wrote the book, The Meet the Parents Story. And I'm also, do we still have Greg?
Yeah, I'm here.
Greg is here. Greg Gliena is
I'm in the back of a car with Jim Vincent. We're about to go to a cigar store in beautiful Des Plaines.
Oh, you're in the Midwest, Greg. Okay.
Yeah, nice. I am.
I know you love the cold.
Don't you see him? I'm wearing this heavy coat.
say hi to Jim for me. Jim was the producer of Greg's Meet the Parents. So we've got a whole big thing happening here. It's kind of fun. Greg, did you ever explore legal action when it came to, you know, what happened with you in regard to the script?
No, I probably should have, but no.
You know, that's just what they're counting on, Greg.
I know.
Laura, how do you get people to see the book? How do you?
And by the way, Pete, yeah, Trump just pardoned Universal, so
from the Meet the Parents catastrophe. That's less egregious than some of the pardons. how do you guys get eyes on the book? How do you get people to find it? Even though it's about a famous movie, is it still hard to find buyers?
We go on your show. Like,
yeah, there you go.
You mean like a publisher or the customers?
Customers. Like, well, first of all, I'm sure it's tough to get a publisher, but maybe it wasn't because of the subject matter of this very popular movie. But also, how do you get people's eyes on the webpage where you can buy it? Or is that the job of the publisher?
Well, it's sort of what you're finding in publishing. It's more and more the job of the author, unless you're like Stephen King or something, and then
yeah,
they do it for him. But it's a matter of using social media and like doing shows like this. And this is writing is part of the work, and then the business, the job of the business comes along with marketing.
Okay,
so. Yeah, it's interesting.
Yeah, it is. Greg, I know you're on your way to smoke a cigar. We light it up here every night. We just picked up a cigar sponsor, which I'm very excited for. Overall, what, like, when it comes to this experience, and maybe this book is like putting a bow tie on the whole process for you, but where do you stand? Are you angry, grateful, somewhere in the middle with the whole experience?
I will be grateful and happy when I can release my film. Until then, no.
And where does that stand, by the way?
The film is in my drawer. That's where we stand.
It's under Greg's tidy whities. Yeah. How do you get, but you said people can see it on YouTube, right? The original Meet the Parents?
No longer on YouTube, but I think it's on something called the Wayback Machine.
Is that a real thing?
Yeah, you can. Oh. Yes, you can. You can. There's a way to see it if you dig through the internet, I think.
All right, if you get a chance.
I think every so often somebody pops it on YouTube, like, you know, and then you'll see in the comments, oh my gosh, okay. I forgot how funny this film was. And but it's every so often you can catch it on, like, some if somebody puts it up there.
Okay. Well, that's
I should
pretty...
just put it back on YouTube. I had it on at one time. I took it off, but I wonder if I should just put it up again, you know?
I mean, I've told people to find it there just because I think it's so funny. I mean, what's the worst they could do is just tell you to take it down?
Yeah.
Yeah. No harm, no foul, right? Mm-hmm. You guys, this has been fun. Laura, I wanted to ask you, you wrote another book called Chicago's Most Wanted, the top 10 book of murderous mobsters. Well, this is such a different book compared to that. Like, what do you typically like to write about? Are you more like vampires, mobsters, or Hollywood?
All sorts. I mean, I like both. I like fiction and nonfiction. And okay. I got into nonfiction with that book, in fact, hoping to get my foot in the door with publishing. And I just fell in love with the idea of researching and nonfiction. So I really do like writing both.
Well, another time I'll have to have you back. I'm kind of fascinated by the mafia, and we've had guests on the show before talking about the mob. So let's keep each other's contact info. I'd love to talk to you about that. And who doesn't like a little vampire talk from time to time? So
mobs for vampires.
Yeah. Hey, guys, this was fun. Greg, great to connect as always. Jim, drive carefully or ride safely, I should say. It was good to talk to you guys. And Laura, thank you so much. Nice to meet you. And thanks for your time. You guys all have a great night.
Thank
all right,
you.
Bye.
Take care.
All right. Bye-bye. You too. See you later.
Bye, Greg.
All right. That's Greg Liana, Jim Vincent, and Laura Enright. That was interesting. So check out the book, The Meet the Parents Story. You can get it on Amazon, I saw, as well as a host of other websites. It should be a good read. And I've heard these stories all through the years. I'll probably still pick up the book and check it out. The text line, Tom from New Berlin says, cold. And I think he's choosing cold, not just saying it's cold outside. Yes, Tom. So Tom is only like one of two or three people that's picked cold so far. Everybody else is extreme heat. They're opting for extreme heat.
I think it's just a situation we're in right now, you know?
Yeah, it could be. Another text from the 608 says, you can't live without some type of heat. You can cool with water. And that's what we said earlier in the show, 608. I don't know if you were listening. The options were you could have extreme cold with layers, blankets, what have you. And if you chose extreme heat, you could have a lake nearby. But still.
This was just for one day, right?
No, permanently.
Okay, maybe I'll change it then. It's permanent.
Yeah, I don't know. If it's permanent, I'd still have to go. Extreme heat. Okay, so we have a clip that is one of my favorite clips. It was Rainn Wilson's birthday yesterday. And this is the Dwight character in a nutshell. He and Angela are dating on The Office. Angela asks Dwight, the farmer, who, to quote Michael Scott, said, I don't want to wake up in the morning and see you brushing your teeth with butter and clay. But Dwight goes to check on Angela's cat, and now he's filling her in on what he saw.
Hey, Dee.
Hey, Monkey, what's up?
Can you do me a little favor? Go to my place at lunch and give Sprinkles her medicine?
Sure.
I have to visit the Alky.
Check to see if she's faking. If a car hit me, it wouldn't crack my pelvis. You know what? I bet she cracked it at home. Jumped in front of the car to get some workers' comp.
I wouldn't put it past her.
So what do you need me to do?
I wrote it out.
Mm-hmm.
There's a diabetes shot. Roll the insulin in your hands. Don't shake it. She gets an ACE inhibitor with her meal. You have to put her right in front of the dish or she won't see it because of the cataracts. Mix one capsule of omega fatty acid in with her kidney medicine. And you want to give that to her 15 minutes after she's eaten. And, there's a fungal cream because she has this infection under her tail. So you're going to have to lift her tail and put the cream right at the base of her tail. Hey.
Hey, Monkey.
Any problems?
Well, you left the TV on, and your cat is dead.
What?
Sparkles, the white one, is dead.
Sprinkles.
That was the sick one, right?
I thought she had more time.
No.
Did she look? When you saw her, how was she looking?
Really dead.
But...
like a just a dead cat. So, hey, come on. Don't be sad. Just, okay? Just, she's in a better place.
All right.
Actually, the place that she's in is the freezer because of the odor.
He put her in the freezer, and then later she saw that the ice was ripped open and the cat was like struggling to get out, like it wasn't quite dead. Dwight just wanted to end the suffering, and he used the excuse that he's a farmer. He wanted just to put her down. Oh God, that's one of my favorite office scenes ever. The Hollywood Reporter put out the Razzies, as I mentioned before. Our question, by the way, just to reiterate, is what do you prefer, extreme heat or extreme cold? Let's say you did not have access to a heater or air conditioning. Would you take 90 and humid over 0 degrees? Or does 0 degrees sound not so bad? And the caveats we put in the question were like, you could have layers if it was extreme cold, or you could have like a lake and some water to cool yourself and keep yourself hydrated if you chose hot. So let us know what you think. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Text us on the app or on the stream, but just text us. We love reading your texts on the radio. In regard to the Razzies, screen combo, these are the great categories that I love in the Razzies. Any two obnoxious characters, but especially Jack Black. Was he in Borderlands?
Jack Black?
Yeah.
I don't believe so, no.
I don't know what that means then. Any two unfunny comedic actors on Frosted? Ooh. The entire cast of Megalopolis, Joaquin Phoenix and Lady Gaga, Dennis Quaid and Penelope Ann Miller as Ronnie and Nancy.
Oh, yes, Jack Black was in it. Sorry.
Okay. Oh, well, that makes sense. So they must mean Kevin Hart and Jack Black, right?
I think so then.
Oh, God, that's like... Like when they're going out of a way to design a category just to put two people they didn't like in it. Oh, it's this is the two obnoxious characters.
like I said before, it's just Kevin Hart trying to be funny in it. Like it just never landed. I felt
terrible.
Like.
Yeah, and Reagan got really bad reviews, like totally panned. But audiences loved it, probably because they liked Ronald Reagan. Megalopolis, written by a Hollywood legend, who put $100 million of his own money in, got panned. It's getting a Razzie. Like, if you're Francis Ford Coppola, you're probably, like, thinking, well, critics didn't like it. Hopefully, it'll just fly under the radar. Nope. Razzie. When we come back, folks, after a very short break, Mason Hutchinson will be in the studio. He's an herbalist. And if you're like me, you want to know more about herbs, I want to know what an herbalist does. He's got a great podcast. They do real cool work with the community. And he's going to tell us a little bit about what they do. This is Pete Schwabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Yeah, great text tonight on our question. Jack from Aramac says, as a former professional lifeguard who's also climbed mountains, humble brag, Jack. I love it. I've never, Conrad, you ever climbed a mountain?
Yeah, those little like hills.
Not mounds. Mountains.
Then I can't say that.
Jack's climbed mountains. That's pretty cool. As a former professional lifeguard who's also climbed mountains, I'd say cold is worse. I'm with you, Jack. He says, I was fine with days at a time in 90-plus degree heat with a cap and swimsuit. The cap? What year was this, Jack? I love it. But there were mountain conditions I've been in above zero where, after a time, almost regardless of what you wore, you could die from hypothermia. Everybody is basically choosing heat. That's a great text. Thank you, Jack. Bridget from the 818 says, that was the strangest looking interview with Greg. My volume was turned down because I was talking on the phone to my son. I was only watching and he was walking in a house when it was dark in the car. Then a close-up of his ear. Wild. Does that, and he's a director.
Yeah, I switched it off when I saw the ear.
Bridget Karsik. She says, extreme heat. I do not like to be cold. I'm with you, Bridget. And finally, from the 608, I thought that CBD would have cannabis. I think this is a question for our next guest, who I will introduce right now without further ado. Mason Hutchinson joins me now on Nightlight in the studio, which I always appreciate. He is the founder of HerbRally.com, and you are an herbalist, correct?
Yeah, I would say I identify that way for sure, although a lot of my peers, I would say, are a lot more, I'd say, on the clinical side, but my whole life revolves around plants, herbalism, et cetera. So HerbRally, what we are is we're a community hub for the herbal community. Okay. So really what we do is we're trying to promote this whole lifestyle as consuming herbs, having relationships with plants, and so on. So, yeah.
When you say relationships with plants, you're not talking about anything weird.
Borderline sounds hippy-dippy, if you will. But once you kind of start going out and, you know, old growth forests, say I'm from Oregon, all right? So you guys are talking about like the cold out here. I'm acclimating to the weather out here, but I have a lot of, say, these quote-unquote relationships with the plants because when you're going out there, and you guys were talking about hiking and everything, so once you're going out there and you're just like botanizing, you're spending time with the plants, you develop these relationships with them, you tend to you start to become fond of them. It's kind of a borderline spiritual experience in some ways, depending on how you want to view that. But yeah, absolutely. You're developing these relationships with the plants, so to speak.
Very interesting. And is that how you would identify, and Jack from Merrimack was our mountain climber, so he might be able to relate to what you're saying, but is that how you identify what an herbalist is? Just someone who has a relationship with plants? I always I figured like in the research I've done, just like you get herbs, you put them in a bottle, and you use them for cooking.
Yeah.
But you're saying it's more people that have a relationship with nature or plant life?
It's very much a broad term. You're right. Yeah. There's so many different ways to be an herbalist. And for the longest time, I was very shy about calling myself an herbalist because I was like, oh, well, I'm not seeing clients. I'm not helping them with their health issues. But I'm the type of herbalist that is helping spread the good word as far as like creating this community around herbalism and so on. So yeah, there's lots of different ways to be an herbalist. You could be a chef, you could be a forager, you could be a purveyor of organic herbs and spices, that kind of thing. So yeah, lots of different ways you could identify as an herbalist.
So for the, so for the layman like myself, you say I'm an herbalist and I say, what does that mean? And I know you kind of described it. You gave us the more intricate version of what that is. But in a nutshell, like how do you want to be perceived by people when you say I'm an herbalist?
It's funny because you were talking about CBD and cannabis. And a lot of times when you say, I'm into herbs, I'm into herbalism, a lot of times people think you're referring to
weed
cannabis.
Dealer.
Exactly. Which, you know, we're more referring to anyone who's using these plants in a, say, a medicinal way, to promote health and wellness in their lifestyle. I think it's a very inclusive term. Some people might, you know, want to be more like, oh, you have to be this certain type of herbalist, be an herbalist. But my philosophy is anyone who's using plants in their daily life is going to be considered an herbalist.
Using plants. Like, so if you have plants in your home, let's say you have, my mom has tons of flowers. She comes from like, I think they owned greenhouses in Ohio when she was a kid, but are they herbalists or is it someone who has plants in your house? Are they herbalists?
Yeah, I mean, right. Like, so then you got the differentiation between house plants and then you got like, say, rosemary and thyme and oregano and all that stuff. But I really think that if you're using plants in your body, around your house, all of the above, that's going to, and then you want to identify as an herbalist, I would say you're an herbalist.
What if I have a lot of plants in my house and I like them? But I feel like they're out to get me and they're bad mouthing me constantly behind my back. What does that make me?
Is this happening to you?
All right. So tell us, is this how you make your living, Mason, more or less just in the herb community?
Yeah. So exactly. So in 2015, I started a website. You know how there's like a websites dedicated to letting you know about what musical events are happening around the country or in your state.
Sure.
I wanted that for the herbal community. I wanted to know about the plant walks. Have you ever been on a plant walk before, Pete?
Not probably to the degree you're talking about, but I've been through like nature walks and what do they call it? Botanical gardens and stuff like that.
Yes.
And yeah.
Super fun. So what I wanted to do was create a resource for not just the herbal community, but people in general where they wanted to go find what type of herbalism events, plant walks, plant talks, et cetera, were happening at their local public library, the different conferences, et cetera. And I wanted to create a vast, large list organized by state. And so I did this way back in 2015. But to answer your question, over time, it evolved into an actual business. Wow. And yes, it is technically my full-time gig now. As I was telling you pre-show, I also work part-time with the Appleton Cigar Company as well. But yeah, it's for all intents and purposes. My wife and I, we met at a place called Mountain Rose Herbs in Oregon. She was a photographer. I was in marketing. And then over time, we both built this business on the side, and we were able to eventually quit our jobs and move out here.
Yeah, I'm fascinated by people that find a passion and create a career.
Isn't that like, crazy?
It really is. Yeah. It's inspirational. Yeah. It's like it should tell people that, you know, whatever you want to do, go make it happen. If you love something, throw yourself into it, maybe as a hobby at first. And maybe you'll meet a great girl and move to another state and freeze your butt off. All right. Mason Hutchinson is my guest. He's an herbalist, and we're going to talk more about that when we come back, and we'll talk about his podcast. I'm going to read some more of your text. Extreme heat or extreme cold, folks. Where are you going with that? I'm extreme heat. Conrad's back and forth.
And I changed my mind once it's, you know, forever.
We'll ask Mason what he thinks when we come back to. Mason Hutchinson is here from herbrally.com. We'll talk more with him. We'll read your texts, and we'll have a wonderful time staying warm indoors. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
We are hanging out in the studio where it is toasty warm here at Nightlight. My guest is Mason Hutchinson. Our question tonight is extreme hot or extreme cold? Most people are opting for hot. Daniel from Menasha says, 100% love cold. I hate heat and humidity. As a child trying to sleep in a tent with high humidity on a warm night, I prayed for a bear attack. Wow, there's a lot to unpack in that statement. As a child sleeping in a tent with high humidity. You're a camper, though, probably, Mason.
Oh, yeah.
You probably relate to that.
For sure, yeah. No, it's been fun to find different nature spots out here in Wisconsin. My wife is from Wisconsin, and I think that maybe she took it for granted and didn't really know all of the nature spots out here. But when she moved to Oregon, she was a massive hiker and camper and so on. And now that we've moved back here, she gets to see Wisconsin through some fresh eyes, and we're finding all these different gems. So, yeah, I would love to do some more this summer for sure.
So she's from Algoma?
Yep, Algoma.
That's a gorgeous little town right
Absolutely.
On the lake. I mean, so you're not from here?
No, I'm from place Oregon. Called Eugene, Oregon.
Yeah, sure,
yep.
Okay.
Yep.
So how has that transition been? I mean, you probably have, I don't mean a stereotype, but the granola thing is 100%. Synonymous with Oregon.
Well, I mean, just look at me.
They got a chill vibe. And I love the look. But there's a lot of that in Wisconsin, maybe not to the degree in Oregon. But do you find any similarities between here and Oregon, or do you feel at home here now?
Yeah, I mean, we were originally going to move to Green Bay, actually. And then we just kind of stumbled upon Appleton because of the Mile of Music. And we just kind of fell in love with Appleton.
Yeah.
But I mean, my family started getting annoyed of me, I think, how much I just bragged about Wisconsin and Appleton, and just I kept talking about how much I love it here. It's like the people, there's a strong sense of history and culture here. I actually will attend some of the Appleton Historical Society meetings on occasion, but I absolutely fell in love with Wisconsin culture. And I just, I think growing up my entire life in Eugene, Oregon, it was nice change of pace. It's definitely different. The weather's definitely different, but I absolutely adore Wisconsin.
That's a really good answer. That's a very diplomatic
answer.
And
I'm not just saying that.
No,
like,
I know.
Because I'm on the radio.
But I'm sitting here with you, and I can sense your genuineness. Yeah. And a friend of mine, Joe Bardetti, years ago, he's from Boston. Yeah. We did stand-up in Chicago together, and I said, what do you like better? And his answer, and I thought this was brilliant, he goes, I like the city of Boston better. And just as people are getting their rancor up, he says, but I like the people of Chicago better. Okay. So then you have to go, oh, all right, well, thanks. You know, like, hey, you can't go wrong. And you're right. People in Wisconsin, like, I've lived in three different places. I live here now. I've lived here for over 10 years. It's a very easy place to live.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think any one place necessarily is better than another, because I think people are the same pretty much everywhere. Yeah. But you're not going to meet, by and large, rude people in Wisconsin for the most part. And it's pretty cheap to live. I would imagine cheaper than Oregon.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the house that we got is very equivalent in Appleton to our house in Eugene. And it was probably three times the price in Eugene. So,
wow.
Yeah, definitely, at least housing costs cheaper.
So, all right. So back to herbs.
Sure.
Did, and plant life for that matter. Did you, is part of the reason you came here because you felt that could be exploited here? Like, hey, there's not as much of this going on in Wisconsin. Let's go there and start a business. Or was it just because your wife is from here?
That is a really interesting question. No, it's, you're right though. So there's like an herbalist on every street corner in my hometown. Yeah. And, but moving out here was actually, I'm already very intertwined in the herbal community. So I knew there was herbalism out here, but when I came out here, I realized, oh, there's even more than I anticipated. Our business is all online, so it doesn't actually matter where we live at all.
Okay.
So yeah, it was strictly, my wife is from, who's also co-owner of Herb Rally. She's the photographer and creative, but, we wanted to be closer to her family and friends and, yeah, just kind of, and the cost of living doesn't hurt either. But,
no, yeah. That's the price you pay. It's the offset to the cold is the cost of living, but and this hasn't been that bad. You've been here a while.
That's all I've heard is, yeah, it's just the cold is the, it's not that bad.
It's not that bad. Yeah.
Today was what, -5 degrees. And I ran outside with no shirt on to take the recycling out to the, and my wife thought I was crazy, but I mean, it's like, yeah, you get used to you acclimate so fast. So
for sure.
Yeah.
All right. So tell us, if people want to explore Herb Rally, they go to herbrally.com. Yep. What can they find there? What brings people to that website typically? Are they looking to buy plants, herbs, learn more about herbs? Tell us what's there.
Yeah. So I'd say the primary thing is, and the good thing is there's a lot of event listings in Wisconsin because, again, this is a very robust community here in Wisconsin. But if people are wanting to find herbalism events, as we say, in your neck of the woods, you could go to herbrally.com/events. They could go on a plant walk. They could find out what's happening near them. That's number one. Number two is we have a lot of monographs. So a monograph is basically a long write-up on one particular plant. So if people want to learn, say, about burdock or dandelion or nettles, they could go to herbrally.com/monographs, and they could just click on these different well-written, lengthy plant monographs and learn all about the plants. And I'd say third, I'm kind of going in order of how Herb Rally was created too. We then added to the podcast and the YouTube channel, and we have over 800 episodes of the podcast. There's interviews, there's full on classes, anywhere up to 3 hours long, lectures, et cetera, from different conferences. So yeah, you're going to have so much free information on the YouTube channel and the podcast as well.
Does being in this line of work make you more chill? It seems like, honestly, it seems like if you're surrounded by plants and you're reading about plants, like, I'm just more relaxed talking to you about that, whereas most of my life I want to strangle a complete stranger at video poker who I've never met. Yeah. Like, seriously, this seems like a very good for the soul kind of work line.
Yeah. Thank you for noticing. And so I used to work at a company called Mountain Rose Herbs. Shout out Mountain Rose Herbs back in Eugene, Oregon. And I got into this whole line of work because – and. I say the Mountain Rose Herbs thing because I never want to make a medicinal claim. I never want to tell people, say, this is going to cure that, because it's irresponsible to do that. But plants have definitely helped me along the way. When I was first growing up, man, I had so many mental health issues. And one of the ways that I got out of that, so I'm saying this isn't for everybody, but diet, lifestyle, and herbs have all helped me with my mental state. So, so yeah, I would say maybe over the course of 40 years now, it's chilled me out quite a bit.
That long you've been in this racket?
Well, yeah, I exaggerate. I'm 40 years old as of October. I've been involved in the herbal world since I was about 20 years old.
So we're not going back prenatal. This is strict. Okay.
No, I don't think my biological mother was taking herbs.
Do most people think when you talk about herbs that there is weed involved or cannabis and stuff like that?
100%. And I mean, I don't know what Civic Media stance is. I think there's a time and place for cannabis. Yeah. I don't partake anymore. It's not really my passion, but certainly there's medicinal uses for cannabis. But no, it's definitely not my area of expertise or passion.
I'm trying to get more like healthy, holistic, whatever you want to call it. I haven't had a drink in a couple of years, not because I had a problem. Yep. My wife says I did, but I no. I just, you know, I wanted to try being more, chemical free, I guess.
Yeah.
What are some of the health benefits? Like, what could you tell listeners right now that's just an easy way to make yourself more healthy when it comes to herbs?
Oh my gosh, that's such a good question. Okay.
Lay it on me.
So there's a remedy. It's called a nourishing herbal infusion. And basically all that is a very strong tea. And what you're doing is you're making a strong herbal tea out of a very nourishing plants. The difference between poison and medicine is dosage, as they say. So we're sticking very closely on the food side of herbs. We're not talking about the hyper, very potent medicinal side of things. We're talking about we're using plants in these strong nourishing herbal infusions with strictly food type herbs. So we got nettles, oat straw, violet leaf, dandelion leaf, and the list goes on and on. I could talk all day about this, but really all you're doing it, you know, mason jars, I'm aptly named. Mason canning jars, you take about a quart mason jar and then you put an ounce of very nourishing herb in there, dried herb, not fresh herb. You want it to be dried herb. So you got your mason jar, put your herb in there, about an ounce, and then you pour boiling hot water over it. Make sure your jar is not totally cold because you don't want it to crack and break.
Right.
But then what you do is you let it steep 4 to 8 hours. Typically, I make my nourishing.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, exactly. So it's a very strong, potent, not medicinally, but very nourishing. What we're doing is we're withdrawing all the minerals is the main thing that we're going for, because most Americans were deficient in all sorts of minerals, magnesium, calcium, all the above. And we need these for our bodies to properly function. So I would say start with some sort of very simple, basic nourishing herbal infusion. We have a whole 3.5 hour free class on our YouTube channel that teaches you all about how to do this, all the different plants that you might want to use in these nourishing herbal infusions. And I can't say it enough, because as Americans, we're so deficient in these minerals and vitamins, and it's just an easy and cheap. It's a very frugal way to get these nutrients into our bodies.
You know where you might lose people is the 4 to 8 hours. I hate to say that, but people don't, I don't know if they're that patient. Like,
okay,
is this something you sell and people can just buy it from you?
Yeah, so a simple hack. We don't sell herbs at Herb Rally, but I'll give you a few different resources. But the hack around the 4 to 8 hours, this is what I do before I go to bed at, say, 9 p.m. I'll just make it at night, and then in the morning I'll strain it out.
Nice.
So boom, you got your nourishing herbal infusion all day. I would, as far as like purveyors of herbs, Mountain Rose Herbs, like I mentioned before, who I worked for, that's a solid choice. There's a lot. Oshala Farm, we partner with them a lot. They're also based in Oregon. Lots of different purveyors of herbs that you could buy dried herbs from.
That's so great. My guest is Mason Hutchinson. He is one of the founders, along with his wife, at herbrally.com. Check him out and learn the benefits of herbs. Not herbs, Conrad. We're not talking about herbs.
I figured that now.
Herbs are useless when it comes to this conversation. I don't want to offend anybody, but I'm just saying. Checking in on the stream, JB says, Mason is keeping it weird at an amazing and awesome JB. Level. Why does he say that? Like, I like JB, but you're not weird.
Okay.
Is it the beard?
It's kind of an inside joke. So shout out JB. one time he was just joking with me in the Appleton cigar. I don't even remember what he said, but I just look at him and I go, JB, you are so weird. And then now it's just an inside
joke. Become a thing.
We're both weird, and that's why we love each other.
Hey, speaking of Appleton cigar, helping us light the night here at Nightlight every night now is the Appleton Cigar Company. They're on board as a sponsor. It's so great. They're at College Avenue, and they've been serving the community for over 25 years, Conrad.
That's pretty good.
You were prenatal when they started.
I was 0 years old.
Your mom couldn't even smoke a cigar, though, then, because she was pregnant with you. Or maybe she could have. You don't inhale that stuff, do you? Mm-hmm. Yeah, no. You need to check out Appleton Cigar, which boasts the largest selection of cigars north of Milwaukee. They have over 700 cigars to choose from and a walk-in humidor. You know what I like about a walk-in humidor?
What's that?
You just walk right in.
That's right.
There's no leaning or reaching or step ladders. The Cigar Lounge offers an impressive variety of spirits and cocktails that pair perfectly with a premium cigar. For the full experience, come to Appleton Cigar at 415 College Ave, Monday through Saturday, 11:30 a.m. to 10:30 p.m. For more information, go to appletoncigar.com. And I smelled it on you. You came right. You came from Prohibition.
Prohibition, yeah.
Okay.
Because it's like a block over there.
Yeah.
But yeah.
That's a good smell, though. I like a good cigar smell. From the 608, Nick says, "Hey, Pete and Conrad, Nick from Marshall here. Hot weather is worse to me because it makes my chronic migraines much worse. Didn't factor that in. People react differently to the weather. Cold weather and snow doesn't help either, but it's still better than the heat. Hope you guys are staying warm." We are, Nick. Thank you. And thanks for the text. Tom from New Berlin says, "Great guest. What is his feel on cold?" I was going to ask you this.
Yeah, I mean, if we're going extreme hot versus extreme cold, I'm going to say extreme cold all day long.
Yeah, why is that?
For sure.
Is it herb related?
No,
or just a general?
It's not herb related. I almost want to say maybe it's my heritage. Maybe because I'm like Scottish Irish. Maybe I'm more acclimated. Just
you want the damp cold?
Yeah, exactly.
And like, yeah. You got fair skin? I see. I have fair skin.
Yeah, ish. Yeah, I would say so. Yeah.
That's why. And I chose hot, and I have like a pinkish hue.
Although my favorite city besides Appleton,
yeah,
and Eugene is New Orleans, and obviously it's very, actually it's snowing there right now, but yeah,
typically very sweaty.
Yeah, exactly.
Daniel from Menasha says 100% love the cold. I hate heat and humidity. I already read that. Sorry. Jim from Appleton says, "Ask the temperature question in August after a stretch of 90 degree days with 75% humidity. I'm sure the answers will change." We'll have to remember that. Conrad, take a memo.
Sounds good.
Let's do that. That question again. All right, we'll have a few more minutes here with our guest, Mason Hutchinson from herbrally.com. Check it out. They also have a podcast. I'll ask you about that when we come back because there's lots to learn there, and it sounds pretty cool. This is Pete Schwab and Nightlight. We're coming right back on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Tomorrow night on Nightlight, I welcome Madison-based film and entertainment critic Rob Thomas, who'll be here at 6:35. He also is the CityCast Madison newsletter editor. Rob is always fun to talk to. We'll talk award shows, what's in the theaters. Always fun to talk to Rob. And then Skip Kerparis will join me at 7:20. He was the guy in the booth with Bob Uecker in the Major League movies. Skip is a Chicago-based comedian and one of the first comics I saw when I thought about doing stand-up comedy. And Skip is a really good guy. Very excited to have him on the show. That's tomorrow night on Nightlight. Right now, we have a few more minutes with our current guest, Mason Hutchinson. He's an herbalist and founder of herbrally.com. Tell us about your podcast. You said you had 800 episodes. That's a lot.
Yeah. So Herb Rally started in 2015, started the podcast in 2017. And basically what it was I was reaching out to different herbalists that I knew, and I would essentially ask them, sometimes I'd even pay them to create lessons and record these hour-long lessons, and then I would just upload it, and that would be the episode. Over time, we added different interview series, and there's lots of different series within the Herb Rally podcast. And about 2 years ago, I finally mustered up the courage to create my own show on my podcast stream. It's called The Herbalist Hour. And so now what I do is we'll travel around the country, or sometimes they're done via Zoom, and I'll actually be the host. So I'm playing the Pete role, and it's super fun. I was so intimidated by it. I was like, how do I do this? But, you know, you just get into a groove and it's
just start yakking.
It ended up becoming my favorite part about Herb Rally. So, there's a mixture of interviews and lessons and so forth. So
very cool.
Yeah.
You have something on your website called The Frugal Herbalist.
It's called The Art of Frugal Nutrition, which is essentially we call it an ongoing building course where we're trying to teach people how to eat healthy on a budget.
I absolutely love that because I don't, you know, poor people in this country tend to eat the worst. Yeah. And I don't know if they know that food is available to them that isn't really all that expensive and they can eat healthier. Oftentimes it's just an educative thing, you know. But can people, how is it expensive? Like, let's say they wanted more herbs in their life and they wanted to develop a healthier lifestyle based on what you're talking about. Can they do that? Is it conducive to lower income people?
There's so many different things that you can do, and absolutely. Wow. I would say the first thing, which is what nobody does, and this is almost not even as peripherally related, but keep a spending journal. Like, keep track of what you're spending in your life in general and at the grocery store, and then make a game out of it. Try to spend less every month. The other thing people could do is these nourishing herbal infusions that I talked about earlier in the hour, It's a very frugal way to get a lot of vitamins and minerals into your diet without spending a lot of money. Make your own bone broth, or if you're a vegetarian, veggie broth. Save all of your scraps, throw it in a freezer bag, throw it in your freezer. Then once a week, make your own broth. That's going to be incredibly nourishing. And it's made out of a material that would have been just tossed anyway. So that's essentially free.
That is incredible.
Yeah.
All right, before I want to ask you what you're watching, one thing you want people that are listening to come away with from this conversation to know about herb. I just said herbs.
We're not herbs British. Not here. Herbs.
To know about herbs. One thing you could impart that people would take away from this conversation.
Ooh, that's a great question. I would say go to the Herb Rally YouTube channel, look up the Nourishing Herbal Infusions class, really get interested. And I would say learn whatever your heart is calling you to learn about one particular plant. I would say just dive deep for a full month, learn everything you can about that plant, start incorporating in your life, drink it as a tea, just start building, as we talked about in the beginning, a relationship with that plant and see what kind of wonders it could do for you and your health.
That's a great answer. This is fun. So this is what I do on the show, Mason. I ask everybody what they're watching, if they've seen any great movies. When you're not immersing yourself in the healthy world of herbs and doing your 12,000 podcasts, what are you watching on TV? Anything you could recommend or anything binge-worthy?
So I'm not recommending this, but there's a show that my wife and I just started trying to watch, but it was so intense, I don't know if I could handle it. It's called Your Honor. It's got a Bryan Cranston in it, but I watched that because it's the show that I do want to recommend if you've never seen Breaking Bad.
Oh, sure.
Have you seen that
yeah.
one? Oh, my goodness. Yeah, it was riveting, great storytelling, and then the spinoff, Better Call Saul, just both incredible series, very well done.
You know, I like Better Call Saul better than I like Breaking Bad.
Yeah, I could see that.
It's not quite as gritty, but it's horribly uncomfortable at times. And Bob Odenkirk is such a talent and so great. So did you just find Breaking Bad, or is this something you kind of go back to, or it's just one of your all-time favorite shows?
I'm an incredible late. With most series, I'm always watching them 10 years after they're popular.
Right.
Like I did that with Dexter as well. And I watched Breaking Bad maybe a year or so ago, but it's top of mind. I am trying to incorporate for my own self-care to allow myself as a workaholic to sit down and binge shows. I think it's incredibly healthy to have this type of entertainment for us. So I'm really trying to watch more shows. So I'd be curious what you recommend, what we should be watching as well.
Well, it's interesting because a lot of people say, oh, I'm so far behind, but you're not, because there's so much content out
so
there.
You can't. Stuff.
I just finished Black Doves, which I really liked with Keira Knightley and
never heard of it.
Forget the name of the other star. That's actually one of the newer ones I was in on. And I watched the other about three nights ago. I rewatched the pilot of Twin Peaks because David Lynch had just passed away. And yeah, it's so weird, but I would give that a look.
Okay.
I didn't watch it much when it was out the first time. I had seen almost all of his movies, but I wasn't a big Twin Peaks fan. But I looked at it with a different eye this time, and I found it really interesting. This is great, man. Thank you. It was great meeting you.
Pete, I really appreciate the opportunity. Shout
Anytime.
Out Conrad and JB once again.
We'll give JB so some commission. It's not going to be money, unfortunately. But
I'll buy him a stogie.
We'll give him a shout-out. There you go. Mason Hutchinson, thank you very much. I'd like to thank Laura Enright, Greg Liana, and even Jim Vincent, who popped on very briefly. Thank you for all your texts and calls. Who am I forgetting, Conrad?
Herb.
Well played.
He's going to get maple syrup. Isn't that what that overcoat looks like?
It's so could great. Use some new maple syrup. I could use
Who
some.
Who couldn't? That's natural. We'll be back That's tomorrow right. night, folks, to do it all again with Rob Thomas and Skip Kaparis from Major League. That's tomorrow night on Nightlight. Thanks for being with us tonight. Thanks for your texts and calls. And on behalf of the lovable producer, Conrad, good night, Wisconsin. I
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.